Well, welcome this morning, and it's nice to see everyone here on a Labor Day weekend. I didn't know if everyone was going to be on vacation or not, but I hope you enjoy yourself this morning. For our scripture reading, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'll make a few announcements. On September 10th, I'm reading out of your bulletin, there's the Grace Ladies meeting at 9:30. And also, that's 9:30 in the morning. And then at 7 o'clock that night, we'll have a board meeting on September 14th and 15th. Now, that's a weekend, and it's a fall cleaning day at the church. Now, not everybody can make it on the 14th or 15th, but if you'd like to chip in or help, but you can't do it on this day, you can come in and clean by yourself, okay? The thing we ask is this, is that there's a list of tasks so that if you clean, you can just check it off and say this is done so that when somebody else comes, they will know not to do that. They can do something else. So there's actually a little plan. I won't announce how to break into the church building over the pulpit. But if you want to know how to break in, just ask somebody and they'll tell you how to do it without damage. Okay? So we don't want to keep anybody out who wants to come and help and clean. Does that make sense? All right. So, and then Saturday, you'll notice on September 22nd on Saturday, and that's coming up. We're already in the month of September. We have a men's night out. Now, this was planned by the women in the church, and I think they were feeling sorry for us because they always had the coffees and the high teas and the fun stuff and social events, and us poor men, all we did is pay the bill. So they want to give us a spaghetti dinner on paper plates. Is that right? I think we asked for that. Keep it simple, we said, keep it simple. This is more than just a father-son. This is for men. But men, if you have a son, if you have a brother, if you have a dad, bring them. And that's fine. That night we're having Dave Hannig is going to be the guest speaker and is going to address the men on being a man. And I'm not sure what the exact outline of his message is going to be, but he's looking forward to coming. And last time I talked to him, he's got it marked down, and he's coming. Also, we've extended an invite to anybody from Kirkhoven who would like to come. And so this is not just for us here in the church. So if you've got a neighbor who's stumbling around the yard and doesn't know what to do, or he's done mowing his lawn, just say, come on with me and we'll go get some spaghetti dinner and bring him over. So it's for a male night. So that's what we have. We also have some other prayer requests that have to do with people's health, and you can read through that. And I would just like to mention, we should pray for our children, the next generation that's coming up, our country, this election that's taking place. And while it's not, how can I put this? Churches are not supposed to endorse specific candidates. And for the most part, that's pretty tough to do. But I would just encourage you to do this. Think before you vote, and vote. But think before you vote, pray about your vote, and pray and pick the candidates or the amendments that line up the closest with Scripture. Scripture is our guide. And I think if you'll do that, if the whole nation would do that, would sit down with their Bibles, bring their Bibles into the voting booths with them, I think we'd have a pretty good result, or at least a better result. So I'll just encourage you to do that. With that, let's open our Bibles. You have them open to Romans chapter 3. And we'll pick up the reading in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, This is Romans chapter 3, verse 19. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, reference the Old Testament. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, those who are given the law, those who are not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation, and that's a satisfactory payment for our sin, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? And that's a small letter. It means by what principle? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you saw our need, that you saw us as helpless sinners who could not save ourselves. And you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for sin, a penalty that we could never pay ourselves. We thank you that you are willing to do that. And we pray that as we sit here today, that we would have respect for that payment, that we would place our confidence, our trust, our hope, our faith in the payment that you have made, and never trust what we can do. And so we just pray that in your grace and your love, that our hearts could be encouraged with your justice and what you've provided for us. We want to just remember our nation this morning. We pray for those who are in charge. We just pray that by some miracle, our politicians would consider why they should be there, that they would recognize that there is a higher authority than them, that they would make decisions that would preserve the liberty that we've enjoyed in this country, and that we as citizens would use that liberty responsibly, that we would use it to bring honor and glory to the grace of God in everything that we do. And so we just pray to that end. We want to just pray for those Christians, and we know that there are many around the world who suffer immensely because of their faith. And we recognize that in this country, because of the freedoms and the liberties that we have, that we as Christians don't really know what suffering for our faith is all about. But we pray that as that may change soon, that our hearts could be encouraged, that we'd be willing, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, that we'd be willing to stand for the truth that we know to be right, and that we would be willing to do the right thing. And so we pray for that. We just pray that as we consider our time spent here this morning, that our hearts could be encouraged in the grace of God, and that we'd have a little better understanding of the motivation that God would like to see in us as we use the liberties that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's stand and greet one another. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's one fly up here that's bugging me. There's a technique, if you slap them above them and just behind them, there's a theory they jump backwards a little bit before they fly. But they're, is that true? But they're a little bit, they're quick though. And I'm not. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll pick it up where we left off last week, and that is with that tremendous promise that God made in verse 13. Let's read it. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we just commit this morning to you. We just pray that the few moments that we spend together around your word, that we would be encouraged with your faithfulness, and that we would understand a little better how the principles of liberty work in our lives and what our attitudes as Christians should be. So we pray to that end this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we looked at that particular verse, we recognize the fact that the Apostle Paul is talking to Christians. He's already used the nation of Israel as an example. In the first opening verses of this chapter, he very conspicuously uses the word "all" to indicate that all were saved who left Egypt. But he wanted us to understand that even though they were Christians, not all pleased God. And as we look at the numbers, and this should be a very sobering thought to us as people, as we look at humanity as a whole, Jesus Christ said, "Many there are who are on the road to destruction, and few there are that find the road to life." And so people who are Christians, people who are truly saved, who have been born again, are in a very small minority. But what the Apostle Paul is suggesting to us, that of that small minority, there's even a smaller minority of Christians who are living their lives in pleasing to God. And he wants Christians to wake up to that fact, that we are on this earth for only a short time, and that we have not only been bought with a price, but we have a hope, we have a future. And in that hope and future in heaven, there is great reward for people who are willing to trust God every step of the way. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fiery furnace. Don't feel sorry for me. There's no pain, but it sounds rough, doesn't it? Okay, keep going. Can you imagine the reward in heaven for those three young men who stood tall in the face of tremendous social and physical pressure to bow the knee, and they refused to do it to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And as we stop and we think of that, how many of us, if we were in the same place, it's easy for us to sit here and say, "Well, if I would have been there, I would have done that." I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure I would have. Really? And you're a preacher? Yeah, that's right. I can get weak. Don't look at me like that. So can you. And this is why the Apostle Paul reminds us verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." We all have a sin nature. We all are tempted to bite the dust.